Pastor Varun and Pastor Dala Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
And I'd like to share with you the message regarding trials or hardships in life. And I believe that this message will really help you a lot in the years to come, in the months to come, that you will understand the purpose of trials and you will be able to rejoice in the Lord your God in the midst of trials. And you also can prevent yourself from going into a lot of trials in your life. Trials are something that no one wants. How many people want trial? No one. I don't want trials either. But trials are something that everyone has to face on earth here. So today we want to have a clearer understanding of the reason why we need to face trials in our life. How many people in this room are going through a trial right now? Raise your hand up. How many people in this room have gone through trials many times in your life? Raise your hand up. So I think this message is for everybody. Amen. There are four sources of trials. Four sources. Number one, the trial that comes from yourself. The trial that comes from your own problem. And this kind of trial can be prevented by changing or altering your belief, your doctrines, your words, your behavior. In other words, if you want to avoid this kind of trial, you need to get rid of self-centeredness and repent of your sin. This kind of trial, I believe, happened more than any other kind of trials because we all are weak and we have sinful nature in ourselves. This kind of trial comes from the law of sowing and reaping, cause and effect. For example, if you gossip about your boss, you're going to face a trial of being laid off or not having a promotion or maybe even demotion because you talk bad about your boss. That is a trial come from your own behavior or your own actions or belief or doctrine. A lot of Christians get into trouble because their doctrines are wrong. I give you example. Some Christians believe that it's normal to get sick. It's normal to get poor. So their doctrine is wrong. Therefore, they live in sickness for the rest of their life. They never believe in God's healing. That trial comes from wrong belief and wrong doctrine. This is why it's so important to hear the right message, to hear the full gospel, not just half gospel. The second kind of trial comes from other people. Because we live in the sinful world, a lot of people make foolish and unwise decisions. And because we live around them, we get the side effect as well. In the Bible, there are many godly people who live in obedience to God, but they still face trials. Right? Jeremiah was put into captivity because the children of Israel were rebellious against God. Or Elijah had to face drought and famine for many years because the Israelites worshiped the idols of Baal. So that effect come upon him as well, even though God sustained him supernaturally for many years. Or another example of trials that come from other people is a man named Jonah. Jonah rebelled against God. He ran away from the calling of God. He went into a ship. And what happened? A big storm came. And the crew in the ship got into trouble as well, until they threw him into the sea. Then the storm stopped. That trial came from the rebellious attitude of Jonah. The same thing in the church. If we are not careful and we began to do something wrong in the church or sin against God, it will definitely affect other people in the church. If a father sin against God, it will really affect the wife or the mother and the children. That's why I really watch my life carefully every single day. I examine my heart every single day because I don't want trials to happen to my family. I want to live a godly life and my family will be blessed. Amen. I hope this lesson will help you to avoid a lot of bad trials in your life. Number three, trials come from Satan himself. Satan sent supernatural attack against Christians. This kind of trial usually is unexplainable, supernatural, and we can fight against this trial by faith, by resisting the devil and submitting to God, by intercession and prayer, and standing up in faith and command it to go away in the name of Jesus Christ. This kind of trial we can fight by faith and by submission to God. The fourth kind of trials come from the Lord himself. I don't mean that the Lord loves to see people suffer. Don't misunderstand me. But sometimes God needs to allow a trial to happen in our life. And when we suffer from a trial that comes from him, he is not happy either. He suffers with us. The Bible says in Isaiah 63 verse 9, in all their afflictions, God was afflicted. So when we cry, he cried with us. But he has to do something to wake us up, to get our attentions. Why? Because a lot of us have a rebellious and stubborn attitude. We don't want to seek God. We don't want to obey God. God wants to get our attention by sending something to us, a big spank, a big trial, so that we can wake up and say, God, I'm sorry. I should have listened to you. I should have obeyed you. And then we can repent after the trial. Another kind of trial we call combo trial, that come from all many reasons, come from yourself, with Satan, and with God at the same time. One of the examples in the Bible is Job himself. Job had a problem. He was self-righteous. He thought that he was a good man, and he was so self-righteous, the devil wanted to attack him. So the devil asked God for permission to attack Job. And that trial came to him for three reasons. God allowed it to happen. Satan attacked him, and he himself was self-righteous. Eventually, he repented, and the trial turned into the blessing. Job chapter 42, verses 5 to 6, the Bible says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Eventually, the outcome of that trial, Job saw his own self-righteousness. He knew that he was not that great. He needed to repent, and the trial went away. In fact, the Lord doesn't have the intention to send big trial to our life. He really wants to help us to live a successful life, a victorious life all the time. Therefore, what he wants to do with us in the area of helping us to grow, helping us to walk victoriously, he has the way to help us. But we need to cooperate with him. The book of Psalm, chapter 32, verses 8 and 9, tells us how he helps us to walk victoriously. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9 say, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Everyone say, his eye. You can choose either his eye or choose a big stick. Which one you choose? I. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will come near you. This is the perfect will of God. how he helps us to walk victoriously. He wants to use his eye to guide us instead of bit and bridle or a big stick to spank us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 6, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." The verse chastening means discipline. Discipline has many levels or many kinds, starting from the lightest one called instruction and guidance. And that's what the Bible talks about, eye. He wants to guide us. He wants to instruct us the right way. But if we don't listen, the next one is rebuking. And if we don't listen again, gonna be reproof. And if we don't listen again, gonna be a big trial, painful experiences. So you can see many levels of God's discipline. I hope that you stay with the first one, just instruction. How does God use his eyes to instruct us? It's compared to how parents use their body language or countenance to lead their children. When my children come home and I make an eye contact or make a body language, they know that I was happy or not happy. I know that I give approval or disapproval. And the same thing with my wife. When she make an eye contact to me, I know that she approve my behavior or not. If she makes certain eye contact and I was doing something that she was not happy, I will stop and change right away. Because happy wife, happy life. Amen. The same thing, happy God, happy life as well. If you make God happy, you will be blessed. And God uses his eyes to guide us in our spirit. How does he do that? How does he use his eye to guide us? Because we don't see God. The Bible says the word of God is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. One of the ways he uses his eye is the word of God. If you can live your life this way, always read the Bible, always get into the Word of God, living close to God, and obeying the Word of God, don't rebel against God, you will be able to avoid a lot of trials in your life. Living close to God, get into the Word all the time, listen to CD, listen to teaching every time the teaching comes to you. This is my lifestyle. I always read the Bible, I always study the Bible and listen to teaching. And whenever God corrects me or show me something or give me instruction, I will say, "Yes, Lord, I repent and I obey." I don't want to go against God, I don't want to rebel against God, because I don't want to have a big spank or a big reproof trial in my life. Amen. I want to walk in obedience all the days of my life. God used another way to guide us. We call the inner witness in the spirit. The Holy Spirit would speak to our spirit on the inside of us. Don't do that. Do this. Quit. Don't go that direction. Go that direction. God will guide us and instruct us what to do. We need to be sensitive to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's why I, as a pastor, love the fire of God. I love to immerse myself in the Holy Spirit all the time because I want to hear what the Spirit say to me each day. I don't want to make mistake in my life. The Holy Spirit will guide me in my spirit, tell me what to do, and that is the eyes of God. The Spirit is like an eye, tell us what to do, give us revelation. It's so important to understand this issue because a lot of people are setting themselves up for a big trial. And they complain, they blame the devil, they blame the pastor, they blame the church, they blame the government, they blame their parents, they blame their wife, they blame their husband. But actually, the problem is they set themselves up in the trial by being either a horse. What is the character of the horse? The heart is independent. The horse would like to do things on their own. They run ahead of God. God doesn't tell them what to do. They do already. A lot of Christians are like that. They run their life without listening to God at all. Never check up with the Bible. And just keep on going, doing their own things. And God tried to pull back. Don't be rebellious. Don't be independent. And they say, no, I don't care. I'm going to go do whatever I want. And that kind of Christian set themselves up for a big spank or a big trial. Or another kind of Christian have a mule head. Very stubborn. Very hard-headed. God say, do this? No. God say, do that? No. I'm going to do my own things. I don't want to listen to you. And if they keep going like that for a while, they're going to face a trial. Either mule or horse. Who is the horse in this room? Raise your hand up. Who is a mule in this room? Raise your hand up. I don't want you to be a horse or a mule. I want you to be a sheep. When the shepherd say turn right, you turn right. He used a staff to point toward the right, and you just follow the direction of the staff. Or you can be a Christian like an eagle. When the wind of the Holy Spirit come to the right, you just catch the wind and flow with the wind of God instead of doing your own things like a horse or like a mule. Everyone say, I am a sheep. I am an eagle. I'm not a horse. I'm not a mule. Amen. If you can live your life like that all the days of your life, living close to God, read the Bible, study the Bible, know the Bible, obey the Bible, listen to the Spirit of the living God all the time, you're going to live a life of joy, prosperity, abundance, protection, success, victory, all the days of your life. You will not have to go through painful lessons. Everyone say painful. A lot of time people go through painful lesson because they are like a horse or like a mule. And that lesson is very pricey, very expensive. Sometimes you have to pay a lot of money in order to get out from that trial. And not only that, that kind of lesson can leave you with slow healing wounds. It takes many, many years to recover from that wound. I hope you don't choose that direction. I hope you don't choose to be either rebellious or independent, or you choose to be stubborn and have to face a big lesson, painful lesson in your life. But you're going to live in joy all the days of your life. Amen? Amen. Before I talk about the benefit of trials, I would like to share with you about one trial or one test that come from God. There are two kinds of trials. One we call temptation. Temptations come from the devil. Temptation come to lure you, to pull you to sin against God. But another kind of trial we call test. That come from the Lord himself. The book of James chapter 1 verse 13. The Bible says, let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So God doesn't tempt anybody to sin, but God can test you. He tests you to see whether you love him or not. He tests your love. He tests your fear, the fear of God in your life. He tests your faithfulness. He tests your loyalty to him. One of the examples in the Bible is Abraham. Abraham did not sin against God, did not disobey God. The devil did not attack Abraham, but Abraham was tested. God tested his faith. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. Everyone say, God tested Abraham. This is not from the devil. This is not from himself. It's directly from heaven. And said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. So God came to him, and Abraham raised his hand up and said, "Here I am. What do you want to do with me? I'm ready." Verses 11 to 12. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad and do anything to him," mean Isaac. "For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." God tested Abraham, tested his faith and his love and loyalty. Many of you know the story of Abraham. God promised Abraham at his old age. He did not have a son or a daughter, but God promised him to have a son of the Spirit, that out of that son, he would have as many descendants as the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore. And one day, 25 years later, after the promise came, he got a son named Isaac. I believe that Isaac was the most precious thing in his eyes, in his heart. He was waiting for Isaac for 25 years. The problem is that sometimes we begin to put the blessing that God gives to us as our idol. And we begin to look at the idol or the blessing rather than looking at God. God become less and the blessing become greater. God may bless you with good job, with a very godly wife, with a wonderful husband, with a wonderful house and car and even ministry. God can give you a big ministry in Uganda or in another part of the world. But eventually, you spend time, you spend your energy worshiping the ministry and worshiping your own success and the blessing that God gives to you. And God will come and say, "Can I take that away from you? To see whether you love me or you love my blessing that I have given to you." That's what happened to Abraham. God tested to see whether he loved Isaac more than God or not. God told him, "Go to Mount Moriah and offer Isaac as a sacrifice on the altar." I believe that Abraham loved God more than Isaac for sure. Because the next morning, he got up, he prepared all the things, and he made a trip for 3 days to Mount Moriah with his son. I believe that those 3 days were the most painful days of his life. But while he was going to Mount Moriah with Isaac and his servant, something dawned on him. God saw his heart, that he loved God more than the blessing that God gave to him. God saw that he has faith. So because he was passing the test, God worked in his heart to have even more faith. Everyone say more faith. Deeper faith. Amen. God tests Abraham, his faith, to give him more faith. On the way to Mount Moriah, it dawned on him that the God who promised him a son many years ago was able to raise the dead up, or resurrection. You need to understand, according to the historical story in the Bible, there was no any case of resurrection. This thought came to him without any evidence of resurrection on earth. God gave him better faith, deeper faith of resurrection. And that's why the Lord gave more spaces in the faith hall of fame in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 to Abraham more than anybody in the Bible. More verses mentioned about Abraham in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham was called the father of faith to the Gentiles. We are the seeds of Abraham. God honored him so much because he passed the test of faith. God gave Abraham faith. But in order to perfect his faith, he need to go through tests. You remember God tested him 25 years before he got Isaac, that "I promised you to have a son," but he passed the test and he grew in faith. And then God tested him again at Mount Moriah and he grew in faith again. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offer up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. This is like a shadow, a picture of God the Father in heaven, offer his begotten son, Jesus Christ. And God resurrected the son, the Lord Jesus Christ, 3 days later. What happened to Abraham here is a picture of what God going to do to mankind. Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. Wow. Abraham's faith rose up to the next level to see resurrection now. He believed that God could resurrect his son from the dead. What we learn from Abraham is faith come by hearing and hearing of the word of God. In the past few years, I have become more and more convinced that faith is more precious than gold. If you have faith, you can move the mountain. You have faith, marvelous thing can happen in your life. So I want to encourage all of you to really pursue to have more faith like Abraham. To be the people of faith. Amen. Faith in every subject in the Bible. Be people of faith. You're going to see a lot of great things happen in your life if you have faith. Amen. But even though faith was given to you by hearing of the word, but your faith is perfected by test of God. Everyone say, my faith is perfected through tests. If you understand this, you will not complain anymore that you have to go through some tests that God gives to you. Because God has a purpose to build up your faith, to perfect your faith. That's why the Bible says clearly that when we go through the tests, we should be thankful to God. We are not thankful for the test, but be thankful to God and praise God for the test. Amen? Because the test is an agent serving God to build us our faith, build us up so that we will be strong and be used of God. Amen. James chapter 1 verse 4 say, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That is the goal of God. That is the purpose of God for every Christian. That we will grow in faith, in love, in joy. We will grow to the point that we become perfect and complete. And when we reach to perfection and completeness, what happened? We will lack nothing. Amen. That's why God has to send us tests and trials to perfect us. Amen. So until we become more like Christ, I want to encourage all of you. The first goal of your life should be, I want to become like Christ. Amen. And after you become like Christ, then you can work for him effectively. You think like Christ, you speak like Christ, you respond to the situation like Christ. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. All of us go through different seasons of life. There's a season for you and there's a season for me. And in each season, in each part of your life that God allow you to go through something or certain circumstances, there is a purpose in it. Now we're going to learn 4 purposes of the season of your life that you go through trials and tests. 4 purposes. Everyone say purpose. There's nothing on earth in God's economy that there is no purpose. Everything has a purpose. I learned all these 20-something years that God allowed me to go through many things in life in this church to prepare me for the next one. I have learned that. So now I understand that I should not complain when I have to go through some trials. Because God is preparing me for another bigger one, a bigger blessing, and a bigger mission that God has for me. And I want to encourage all of you to do the same thing. Looking for the purpose of God and pass the test. Let's look at the first purpose. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy. Everyone say, count it all joy. When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its own perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 4. The Apostle Paul say the same thing as James. And not only that, we also glory, means smiling, laughing, serving God, still go on with your faith. In tribulations, mean in trials. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. So the first purpose of trials is to produce stability and character in your life. The words patience and perseverance in the Greek language is hupomone, H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E. What does it mean? It means stand still, unshakable, under pressure. No matter what happened to you, you still stand still. You're not like a yo-yo, roller coaster. When everything is fine, the sunshine come out in Seattle, you say, ha, ha, ha. But when the rain come and the weather is cold, you just say, oh, now the weather is bad. You go up and down according to the circumstances of your life. That is not stability. That is not perseverance and patience. That is not a good character. I don't mean that you have to act the same way everywhere. In the operating room, I act one way. But during preaching, I act another way. But whether I am in the operating room or I am in the church on Sunday, my heart should be the same. Amen. I can rejoice. I can have faith. I can be positive. I can do great things for God. No matter what happened to me around me, I should be stable. I should have the character of God. You know, God is not shakeable. God still sits on the throne and laughs at every situation. God is a God of stability. He's like a rock. God wants to build that character in our life. Stable, no matter what happened. Under pressure. That's why some people in the church face more trials than others. How many people want to face less trials? Raise your hand up. What you need to do? Make decision today, right now, that you're going to stay stable. And not go up and down, yo-yo, like a roller coaster every single day. If you're still doing that, you're going to face more trial to come to you, come to you, coming to you, coming to you, so that until you become stable one day, and then less trials. Amen? That's the first reason why we need to go through trials and come out victoriously. God wants your heart to be stable. Stay the same under pressure or on the mountaintop. Second reason of trial, the second purpose of trial, James chapter 1, verses 2 to 3, say again, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, everyone said testing of my faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, I read from Amplified Bible. So that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. This proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. The second reason for the test and trial is to refine and improve and strengthen your faith. The three Hebrew men went into the furnace fire to prove their faith. I believe when they came out, their faith is stronger. The faith of your heart is more precious than gold, more precious than bank account and stock market. The faith in your heart is so important because you fight this life with a good fight of faith. Amen. In fact, if you have faith, money will come anyway. Amen. Actually, I'm preparing to teach the lesson called Investment and Withdrawal. Oh, I read this sermon about 5 times. It's so convicting. I'm going to come to teach in this campus in the near future. It's so good. It's so good. And actually, I practiced that unknowingly already all these years. When I step into my office, I have faith that the insurance company is going to pay me. I'm serious. Every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, when I walk into my office, I have faith that I'm going to draw money out of the world from the insurance company, the medical insurance. And it came because of faith. When you have faith and you'll get sick, by faith, the sickness will go away. Faith is so important to do anything. When I fly to Thailand, I don't go like a job. I go with big faith that something good going to happen in the meeting over there. Faith, faith, faith. And God wants to refine. God wants to improve your faith. God wants to get your faith up to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. Amen. That's why we have to go through trials to improve our faith, to refine and strengthen our faith all the time. Number 3, the third purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, are you enjoying this? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 to 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, remember this? Trial is for a moment. It doesn't stay forever. It's working for us a far more exceeding and an eternal weight of glory. Why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let me read another scripture to explain. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. The third purpose of trial and test is to have upward vision, heavenly vision. It's very difficult and very challenging to keep our eyes on the things above or heaven. While we are living a natural life on earth here. Amen. When you see a nice car, a nice house, a nice vacation home, big paycheck, big promotion, all these things distract you from storing up treasure in heaven, from living your life for eternal value. Because your eyes are on the things of the world. Oh, bigger mortgage, bigger house, bigger promotion. You think about all these things on the world and you forget about heaven, which is more permanent and more eternal. What does God do? He used trial to wake us up. When we face trial, usually we get on our knee and our eyes start to get on God. And we begin to learn that the things in the world are temporal, are temporary, and will not last forever. It will go into corruption one day. It will corrupt. If you want to have less trial in your life, what should you do? Now, I want to give vaccine. How many people want less trials? What do you do? Number one, not only be stable all the time. Number two, build your faith as fast as you can by listening to the word of God. Number three, don't put your eyes on the things of the world too much. Amen. Keep your eyes on the things above. Of heaven. That's how Moses did in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 27. By faith, he, meaning Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him, meaning God, who is invincible. Moses keep his eyes on the things above. That is the third purpose. Let's look at the fourth, the last purpose of trials. Job chapter 42, verses 10 to 17. As you know, Job faced a big trial. And this the outcome of the trial. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintance before came to him, ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first, and go on to verse 16 and 17. After this, Job lived 140 years. How many want to live a long life? And saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died, old and full of days. Amen. This story tells us that the trial and test, the purpose is that your life will give glory to God. Amen. After you come out from the trial in victory, pass the test, people around you will look at you and say, wow, your God is a good God. They will glorify God because they see victory in the trial. You're going to have a great testimony. Amen. In the trial, it's hard. But when you come out, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. That's the 4th purpose of trial. I want to conclude this sermon. That from now on, don't complain. Don't have bad attitude when you face hardship. But you rejoice. You glory in the trial, in tribulation. You count it all joy in trial. And you respond to the trial in repentance, in faith. Examine yourself. You need to look at yourself. What I need to change? What I need to do to come out from this trial as purified gold? And if you can do that all the days of your life, you will not have to face a lot of trials. Amen. These 4 purposes, make a decision to have it now so you don't have to go through trial. Glorify God all the days of your life. Be stable under pressure. Amen. Build your faith up very fast. And not only that, you always look at eternal vision. Have an eternal vision. Look at God. Amen. How many in this room say, God, this message is for me? Raise your hand up. How many people in this room say, I will go through trials with joy from now on? I will praise God. How many people say that I want to have these 4 things in my life now and keep developing it so that I don't have to go through trials? Raise your hand up. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love, for your chastisement, your discipline. Father, we want your instruction. We want your eye to guide us, Lord, your word and your spirit. We surrender to you. We want you to help us, Lord, all the days of our life, yes, to pass trials and tests in victory.
Yes.
Everyone follow what I say here. Father in heaven.
Father in heaven.
We submit to you.
We submit to you.
We resist the devil.
We resist the devil.
We repent of our sin.
We repent of our sin.
We want to grow.
We want to grow.
In character.
In character.
In patience.
In patience.
Perseverance.
Perseverance.
In faith.
In faith.
We want to keep our eyes.
We want to keep our eyes.
On the things above.
On the things above.
We want to glorify you.
We want to glorify you.
All the days of our life, Lord.
All the days of our life.
We submit to you.
We submit to you.
Please, Father.
Please, Father.
Help us.
Help us.
To
To overcome
all the temptations and pass all the tests.
Like Abraham.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Give the mighty hand of praises to the Lord. Amen. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.